stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
Hi, Dave. It's Vance. Reflecting back on your last couple episodes on player skill and real-world expertise, I think because so many of our games are kind of conceptual and simulationist in nature, where real-world expertise may come in is more kind of more for narrative color, if nothing else. After all, very few of us are trained swordsmen, lockpicks, you know, trackers, and fireball throwers. That said, gaming not too long ago, and I was trying to describe, you know, how we were going to work our way across some treacherous terrain using our standard dungeon equipment, and I was kind of getting talked over by a couple of the other folks in the group, when the DM kind of quietly said, you know, guys, you might want to listen to what the rock climber's saying. Anyway, take care, man. Hope you're well. Bye.
Hey, Dave. Jason here. As far as real-world advantage goes, I agree with you 120%. What can I say? I think real-world knowledge might add a little bit in description. So, you know, it might make the description of how the character does something more evocative. But sometimes it might not help, right? So if the real-world answer is boring, but the fictional version is more exciting, then it'd be better if the character explains it, you know, the way a character in a movie might do it as opposed to the real way to do it, right? Because that'll be more exciting and more interesting for everybody else. But as far as mechanically, I agree with you totally. It should not affect anything. It might benefit the player, and they might think to ask a question that might benefit. So I'll give them that. But they shouldn't get a bonus because they can explain how to swing a sword.
Hey, Josh Beckelheimer here. And on real-world expertise, for me, it's just fun for flavor and fiction. Because at the end of the day, I'm still a dice roller. You can have the best combat tactics plan ever, but your rolls can be total crap and everyone dies. You can have the worst tactics and combat plan, and your rolls are great and everyone lives. At the end of the day, for me, it's dice rolling. And if you want to use real life, you know, real world expertise for your fiction and flavor, that's great. That's awesome. And it makes it more interesting. But for the most part, no one knows how you make freaking potions, because fantasy potions are not real. That's why it's called fantasy. So at the end of the day, I just rely on dice rolls and just fun fiction and flavor. Also, this kind of falls in line with the only using D6 for your dice. People are, you know, they get crazy over it sometimes, but it's the same thing. I mean, it's all fiction. You having a battle axe and me having a dagger, why can't I have a D6 for both of them? It's still in the fiction. It's not real. It's just a game. And people that freak out over, well, I like to have my D12 for a two-handed weapon. Who cares? It's still fiction. I get the point where, in our heads, a battle axe should do more damage, I guess, to someone. But, you know, cutting someone's throat with a dagger is still just as effective as lopping off their leg. I mean, I don't get it.
Hi, Dave. Goblin Sentryman here. Just got listening to your episode about player skill. It really reminded me of a video. In fact, this video demonstrated the opposite of player skill, almost the embodiment of the opposite of what you were talking about. It displayed neither tactical skill nor social awareness skill, if you like. If you haven't seen the video before, Google Leroy Jenkins. It wasn't a role-playing example, but one of these kind of computer game kind of things where people sort of work together to combat levels. Anyway, it's quite amusing. Anyway, on the opposite note, I have seen players demonstrate the kind of player skill you talk about. Well back in the day, I remember I was running a game, and the party were in a big scrap and the party had been divided by a big bit of fire. So yes, the party was in a big scrap and they had been separated by some fire. Can't remember exactly the reason why there was fire, but anyway. So one of the players said that my character runs through the fire to get to the other side. And I looked at him and said, how many hit points you got? I think it was something like 2. I said, why do you want to do that? And he said, well, the other character, who's my brother, is just fall into the enemy, and my character would have to rush through to help him. And I thought to myself, yeah, he's right, you know, given the scenario. I think they were dwarf brothers. Anyway, he ran through, rolled the d6, it was over 2, down he went 2. And the rest of the party all kind of groaned, but you could see they also basically were good players because they accepted that was made sense, even though it made it worse for them because one of their fighters went down needlessly. But so I think, you know, also the other players have to be good players too. So in summary, you've got, you know, someone being a good player because they're playing what their character would do, good role playing, and then, you know, whether you call that skill, it's a debatable matter, but I think also the other players were also good players because they accepted that decision. Again, is that player skill? I guess depends on your definition, but I think it does tap into what you're talking about. Okay, cheers, fella. Bye.
Hey, Dave. So, does real world expertise add fun to the game? That is a great question, man. Like I said on Twitter, I've seen it work both ways. I'm going to leave the question of should it add a mechanical benefit to something else. That's a separate question altogether, I think. But I absolutely think it can add fun to the game. Like, there is, I personally find fun in other people's joy. So, like, if somebody at the table with me is really excited about a subject and knows a lot about that subject and wants to share some of their knowledge with me and with the rest of the group, I'm all about it. I'm here for that. Like, if they want to sit there and wax philosophic for 45 minutes, that's a different story. But yeah, man, moderation absolutely can. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Peace out.
So there we go. The dialogue continues. The call-ins keep coming in. Please keep them coming. Very grateful today to have had call-ins from Vance, from Jason of Nerds RPG Variety Cast, from Josh Beckelheimer of JB Publishing, from Goblin's Henchman of the podcast of the same name, and of course that last one there was Joe Richter of High Sightless and Wheel or Woe. Thanks for listening, everybody. Keep well. I'll catch you soon.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter @d_percentile.